Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And Anya Kamenetz, author of the book Generation Debt, staff writer for Fast Company and blogger at The Narrow Bridge and Yahoo Finance, is back with us as she is joining us once a week for the month of February to talk about generation debt and all things related. Hi, Anya. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me back.
And last week we talked about student loans. The week before we talked about credit cards. Earlier today, you heard us break down the new Obama mortgage rescue plan. It's all money, 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 money today. We don't just talk money, 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 money on this show every day, but it's turning out that way at least this hour. So with you today, we thought we would discuss something that all of these topics feed into, and that is credit scores, because there are so many questions out there about the purpose of credit scores, how to get them back up. There are lots of scammers out there always trying to market us credit scores that we don't need or bogus credit counseling services, things we have to pay for when we shouldn't really have to pay for them, all kinds of stuff. So we'll touch a bit on bankruptcy later today as well. But listeners, you can start posting your credit score related questions for Anya right now at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show or call us. The lines are open 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Anya, what is a credit score really?
Well, the credit score, there are three credit bureaus, credit reporting agencies, and whenever you incur any kind of financial obligation, whether that's a debt or just a recurring bill like a cell phone bill, those agencies that you owe the money to are going to report your payment history to these three credit agencies, and they're going to keep a record of it, and then they have a sort of black box. They don't release what the details are of their software, which they use to calculate your credit score, and you do have three different credit scores.
Where and when should I check my credit score or avoid checking my credit score?
Well, you know, you shouldn't worry about avoiding checking your credit score. There is such a thing as, you know, lowering your score by having too many inquiries, but that happens when other people are checking your score. So you can get a free annual credit report, and that shows what the information is that goes into the black box, and that is at annualcreditreport.com, and that's a federal law was passed allowing everyone a free look at that at least once a year. But if you want to get the actual score, which is what the lenders are going to look at when they're calculating your score, your interest rate, what you're going to get offered in terms of terms on a loan, you do need to pay for that. You don't need to pay more than usually about $15 to get the basic look at the score.
So all the stuff that's been in the news today that we were talking about earlier in the hour, if somebody gets help from the government to stave off foreclosure, and I realize for most of these people it would be indirect help because the help really goes directly to the lender, but then the lender renegotiates the terms. So if somebody's at this point where they feel that they should take advantage of this Obama plan, if it goes through as announced, does this affect their credit score? Are they going to suffer in some way because they took advantage of this opportunity to renegotiate their mortgage?
You know, mostly when people are getting when people are in the situation where they're thinking about taking advantage of this, the damage has already been done. So they've already fallen behind on their loans or they've fallen behind on other bills. And that's exactly what is telling people that they can't necessarily manage the mortgage. So as a rule of thumb, when you are in a situation where you're actually negotiating with lenders, remember, it's the lenders that report the information to the credit bureau. So as long as you're coming to terms with them and you're talking with them and you're setting up a payment plan, it should not have a negative impact on your credit score. You should not worry about that. Foreclosure, bankruptcy, those are the types of situations that do have long-term impact on your credit score.
So that also plays into another question that people keep asking, which is, and we had a caller like this earlier when we were talking about the foreclosure bill, if my home is underwater, should I walk away from it? Underwater meaning you owe more on the home than it's even worth. And a lot of people are walking away from those mortgages. But that really has a lot of credit ramifications, doesn't it?
Well, so, I mean, the credit score problem, it has to be put in perspective, right? Because, the real question is, can I manage my bills and can I continue to, conduct my financial life going forward. When you go into a foreclosure, when you walk away from a debt, you know, it's going to stay on your credit score for a good 7 years, 10 years, in the case of bankruptcy. And so there are long-term consequences, but at the same time, I think that some studies show that people actually put off things like foreclosure, they put off things like bankruptcy, when what actually ends up happening is they go into a chronic situation that can last much, much longer, where they're chronically behind on debt and their credit score is very bad anyway.
So if you have a bad credit score, how easy is it to rescue?
Well, credit repair, and this is where you get into the problems with some of these disreputable agencies, that, you know, anybody that promises you fast credit repair, there's no magic formula for it. It does take time. However, you know, the most important part of improving your credit score has to do with your payment history. And the sooner you can become current on all your accounts and start to pay off your credit cards, of course, that's easier said than done. But you can improve your credit score 50 to 100 points within just a few months.
Let's take a phone call from George in Union. George, you're on WNYC. Hi, George.
Good morning, sir. I just had two quick questions. You know, I've been listening to a lot of shows about, you know, financial literacy and everything, but it seems that everyone agrees that we should be more financial literate, but yet there is never a starting point. No one really speaks about, you know, where you should start and then you work your way up from there. And another thing is, we know it's so important, how come I had a high school level? I never see any of these high schools have any programs with, you know, let's say, I don't know, financial 101 class. You know what I mean? At a high school level, just start teaching them, like, basic stuff.
You know, it's
if you don't mind, I'll take your answer off the air.
Thank you very much, George. Call us again. And, you know, George makes a great point on you. For someone like yourself who really wrote a book targeting a particular young generation, mostly people who are a few years out of college, but still, maybe if they got some of the, you know, they teach kids how to use condoms in high school, which I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but they don't teach them how to balance a credit card statement.
I think this is an excellent, excellent point. And, you know, by the way, I've been involved in financial education programs, both in the high school and maybe even talked to middle schools before. You know, the Jumpstart Coalition, if people are interested in this issue of financial literacy, the Jumpstart Coalition has been really active coast to coast in trying to pass laws, get this on the curriculum in middle schools and in high schools. And also, if people are interested, I just did a little searching around and found that the city has an Office of Financial Empowerment. This is New York City's Office of Financial Empowerment, and they have a directory there that offers free classes, entry-level classes, and workshops on all types of topics offered by different agencies around the city. So if people are interested, you know, some of the information is out there. But, you know, a lot of the talk about financial literacy as well, you know, in a bigger perspective, it's really the problem is that people are having to make so many more decisions for themselves, and it's getting much more complicated. You know, back in the day, if you were able to have a fixed pension and it was going to be a certain percentage of your income, you know, it wasn't up to people to navigate things like 401ks or credit cards. You know, that these things are all a lot simpler, and so the education system has to catch up to this risky world that we're all in now.
And we've talked before on this show, but I think it's relevant again right here, that communication is the key. And I suspect a lot of folks don't realize that they can just pick up the phone and be honest with their credit card company or whatever debt collectors, that they need to be in contact by phone or by email or in person, and that that can actually help rescue your credit in many cases, correct?
Oh, that is so, so important. I mean, you know, especially in the situation now where creditors are worried about collecting on their loans, you know, they have a lot of risks out there. And anybody who is willing to talk to them, to make a good faith payment, to stay on top of a payment plan, that is something someone that they're going to want to hang on to. And, you know, I just want to stress, though, that if you are, you know, opening up the situation of trying to communicate and negotiate with your creditors, it's really important to keep track of all the communications you've had, you know, log it. If you send them a letter, make sure it's certified, because you want to have a record of all the communications, everything they've told you.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. Kathy in Orangeburg, you're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian.
It looks like you have a pretty bizarre story here.
Well, my husband filed for bankruptcy due to credit cards. I had a major medical issue in 07, and he got behind in his payments, and right away from like 12%, it went to 34.5%. So, of course, he couldn't make the payments. Just the minimum went to $600. So in his little mind, he's avoiding the whole thing. Anyway, so he files bankruptcy. 2 months into it. Now, it's not final yet. He is still has to go to court and all that kind of stuff. But 2 months into it, I noticed he had a credit card offer in the mail. I took it, and I, like, ripped it up right away because I was just like, "This, it's a nightmare to begin with."
But I love this story because, Anya, this shows the disconnect between marketing and reality in the credit industry, doesn't it?
Well, you know, we have been in a period of sort of temporary insanity when it comes to the availability of credit. And there actually have been studies that have shown that people get more credit card offers in the months and years after a bankruptcy because you know that they got wiped out. So I think that, you know, some of the tightening is coming in now. There has been a slight reduction, I think, in some of these offers, and hopefully there'll be more regulation to restore sanity to exactly who's able to get a credit card and when.
Now, just say that again. People sometimes get more credit card offers after they've gone into bankruptcy because they've been wiped out. I don't get that.
Well, it's because their current accounts have been closed, and they are known as being people who stay behind in their debt. You have to remember that from the credit card company's point of view, people who make a lot of late payments, who have a lot of overdrafts, as long as they're trying to stay current on the debt, that's a good customer
right,
to them. That's
right.
A high-margin customer.
Right, although Kathy's husband ultimately did not, and it sounds like he's defaulting on some of this credit card debt, so that can't be to the credit card company's interest. But should Kathy's husband, did she do the right thing ripping up this credit card offer?
You know, there's a regulatory situation and then there's a psychological situation, right? I mean, you have to be able to be in a place where you're comfortable taking care of credit cards. I mean, for example, in a situation, it doesn't necessarily make sense, for example, to close credit accounts from the point of view of raising your credit score. You might want to keep them open. But from a psychological point of view, because if you feel like you can't control, you know, use of that credit card, I would advise people to cut up the
right.
card even if they're not closing the account.
All right, Kathy, you did the right thing.
Thank you very much.
Good luck. Rebecca
Thanks.
In Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. I'm calling because I have a lot of credit card debt, and I just got my interest rate raised to something like 23%, and now I really can't make the payments, and it's going over the limit. And I'm wondering how I can wipe this out, what I can do without completely wrecking my credit score and hopefully not having to pay 23% for the rest of my life.
Right. So, Anya, does this get us to the question of who should get credit counseling?
I think so, absolutely. I mean, that's definitely a situation where you might want to get a free consultation. So the credit counseling idea is there are a few reputable agencies. There are many disreputable agencies. You don't want to get involved with anyone who will give you a debt consolidation loan or promise credit repair. You're interested in credit counseling, and that's a very different thing. And so it would not be a bad idea to call up an agency like GreenPath Debt Solutions or Money Management International. Those are two that I've seen that are approved by the U.S. Trustee's Office that meet with people in person in New York City. And they will give you a free one-time consultation, and after that, they charge it a sort of small monthly fee. It's like a $35 to $50 a month fee if you go into a plan with them.
And these places that advertise for credit counseling on late-night TV?
Yeah, well, I mean, I really have a problem with this because, you know, a lot of this sector has been investigated by both the IRS and the FTC and found that it's very, very shady. They have relationships with banks that are not always disclosed. They charge very high fees. They may not get you current on your accounts at all. So, you know, other than the two that I just named, and if you look at the U.S. trustees, they do keep a list of approved agencies that will give you phone counseling. I wouldn't go too far with the ones that advertise on late night TV.
Anya Kamenetz from Fast Company and Generation Debt, and Walter in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Recently, I went with my wife into a bank to open up a checking account for a sole proprietorship that she wanted to open for herself, her own business. In the course of trying to open that checking account, a credit check was done on her. The bank said that there was another bank that was making some complaint that there was some problem that they were showing in the credit report from a previous bank relationship. She didn't have any knowledge of that. We don't know where this information was coming from.
Aha. Now, I'm going to have to leave it there because we're going to run out of time. But, Anya, here's an all-too-common situation where people are being downgraded in their credit score and they can't even trace the source of the problem.
Most credit reports they found have errors. That's a majority of credit reports. And the thing to do there is that, you know, there is a dispute process. You can send letters to the creditors that are reporting these problems, and you send letters to the credit bureaus as well. Make sure they're all certified. Keep a record of it. It can take several chances. It can be a very long, frustrating process, but people do have success.
Let's try one more quick question and quick answer. And Don in West Milford has one that really looks at the big picture of what's going on today. Don, hi.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call.
Right to the point.
I just want to know how relevant credit scores are going to be in the upcoming years if there's so many people defaulting on major, you know, mortgages and credit cards and such. You know, what is the big picture for the credit scores?
I think the long-term picture is higher standards for credit scores, but less overall consumer credit. I think we're going to have a contraction in consumer credit. They won't be handing out these credit cards like candy anymore.
Okay. Thank you.
Don, thank you very much. And you did that so efficiently that we have a minute left. I'll use it to tell you how popular you are with our listeners. Every time you come on, we get flooded with phone calls, and we get flooded with questions on our comments
page. Well, I know it's not me, Brian. I know it's that there's so many problems out there.
Well, you know, it's there certainly are so many problems out there, and it's probably a combination because you give a lot of good, clear advice, and you've also been very generous at picking up some of the questions from our comments page that are left over from your appearances and posting answers right to the page for a couple of people. I hope you can do that again this week because there's a lot more stuff out there on credit reports. Give the web address again where you think people should actually go to get their credit score where they're not going to get ripped off.
Well, annualcreditreport.com is the free credit report.
That's annualcreditreport.com. Says Anya Kamenetz, author of the book Generation Debt, staff writer for Fast Company, and a blogger at Yahoo Finance, and her own blog, The Narrow Bridge. And she will be back one more time, one more weekly visit, as the month of February draws to a close next week. We'll talk to you next Thursday, Anya. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.